As Australians continue to battle with rising electricity bills, the Turnbull government last week devised a new policy aimed at bringing these costs down. But as I've discovered, there are alarms our overinvestment into energy networks have gone unnoticed. Our gold-plated network, as some have called it, could be the key to our disproportionate energy prices. Last Monday, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission released a report into residential electricity prices, finding they've increased by 63% on top of inflation in the last decade. That week, the energy wars in Canberra took another twist, with the Turnbull government scrapping its clean energy target, instead opting for a national energy guarantee designed to bring down the cost of electricity whilst maintaining energy security. But with so much being said about storage, the reliability of renewables, and our dependence on baseload power, some experts are raising concerns about the cost of our energy infrastructure.
There's been a very significant over-expenditure in the poles and wires, most particularly by the government-owned poles and wires companies. And that's happened because they've been guaranteed a rate of return far higher than is their actual cost of capital. And so the way to increase the profits was to increase the size of the asset base, to build white elephants, in other words.
That's Bruce Mountain, Director of Carbon and Energy Markets, and he says rising network charges have accounted for more of the electricity price increase than all other factors put together. So how could this price hike occur? The networks have seemingly overinvested and charged customers for those costs as if they were private assets, leading to what's been labelled a gold-plated network. Joe DeMasi, a professorial fellow at Monash University, explains the stark difference between the network's capacity and its demand.
Since 2006-07, the value of the asset base, that's the value of the networks, has gone up, you know, roughly double, gone up by about $35 billion. At the same time, the amount of electricity that's gone through those poles and wires and substations and all the rest of it has been pretty small. So there has been a lot of additional costs that have been passed on to consumers over the last decade or so. And that has resulted from this overinvestment. Now, part of that overinvestment might have been because there was a concern about making sure that there was, you know, greater reliability in the network. But I think it's a bit hard to escape the conclusion that, you know, there's been probably too much overinvestment. And that certainly has been a major contributor to the increase in costs for consumers up until recently.
To understand how this sharp inequality came to be, we have to go back a few governments to a policy called competitive neutrality. Bruce Mountain again.
Competitive neutrality is a policy that the Hawke and Keating governments developed, where governments owned businesses that had to compete with the private sector. And they didn't want those government businesses crowding out the private sector, which they could do by getting cheaper access to government capital or using government as a buyer or other devices. So it was a way to encourage even competition. That's the underlying essence of the policy, but the state governments chose to apply it to their network companies, which don't compete. There's no one to be crowded out. And the energy regulators accepted that at face value and went one step further and said it was good economics.
And how will the government's new energy plan released just last week address this issue of energy infrastructure, if it will address it at all?
It won't. If they were serious about doing something about electricity prices, they'd be working on these things. But no, it doesn't touch it.
Adrian Merrick is the founder and CEO of Energy Locals, a retailer which finds cheaper and local sources of energy for consumers. He tells me about the absence of one policy at a state and federal level, leading to varying approaches where now the networks can maximise their profits at the consumer's expense.
They live off this guaranteed rate of return that the regulator approves. And if they don't like the rate of return the regulator approves, then some of them even take the regulator to court. And actually, recently, some of them won in doing that, which really stinks because, you know, these are clearly not organisations that are thinking of customers first and foremost. If you are told you can't have quite as high a percentage rate of return, and there are some big percentages out there that people would love to see in their savings accounts, and you don't think it's quite as good as it should be, and then you go and take the regulator to court. I mean, that's not a rational energy market.
As the Prime Minister and his Minister for Energy, Josh Frydenberg, try to sell the government's national energy guarantee with talk of residential power savings, others, like Mr. Merrick, say the approach doesn't go far enough.
We've had an announcement from the PM in the last few days that says we reckon we're going to save customers $100 a year. Well, it's going to have to be a lot more than that, Malk, for it to make a real difference for people. And secondly, they can't really back those numbers up at the moment either. They're just kind of made up numbers from what we can see. So we're going to need some serious shifts in government policy, but also some serious shifts by consumers to say enough.
And while other countries have been managing their energy networks under a similar system, it seems Australia stands out with its huge difference in residential prices.
They control it through ownership. They say who they're going to appoint as the chairman and the board and the CEO, and they trade off the things they get, like profits, with the things they don't like, which at least voters don't like, which is higher prices. And that internal discipline sets the governance framework. And that works well. It's how we used to do it. But then following the changes roughly 15 years ago, government policy and enhanced by the regulators and poor economics, was that we should imagine that these government-owned entities weren't government-owned, and we should imagine they were privately owned. And so we gave them a rate of return as if they were privately funded. And then, you know, shock horror, saw how they gold-plated the network as a consequence of getting a premium return. But of course, it's very profitable if you own the businesses. So that's one of the reasons why it hasn't changed.
Bruce Mountain, Director of Carbon and Energy Markets, ending that report.